Welcome to TTELT, Teaching Tips for English Language Teachers, a program of educators worldwide. I'm your host today, Melanie Gobert. This is Melanie Gobert, your host on today's episode of TTELT, a program of educators worldwide. Joining us today is Sitha Sagaran. Sitha is a personal development trainer and lifestyle consultant with a background in English and psychology. Her topic today will be pitfalls of favoritism, impact on learning and progress. Over to you, Sitha.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Melanie. I hope I have pronounced your name correctly. Yes. So thank you very much. It is great to be a part of this global initiative, which is, of course, spearheaded by Tissot. Thank you very much. So when I talk about favoritism, I would always like to talk a little bit about my childhood days. Now, you may wonder why, because as a student, I was never a good student in class. So those of you who are teachers and those of you who have been students with teachers who had shown favoritism would be able to probably identify a little bit with what I have to say. So what I had personally felt or experienced was that favoritism, it tends to kind of decrease our desire and motivation to know a little more, especially if you are amongst the lot who's not very, very interested in school and subjects. So what happens is, perhaps it's not too surprising, teachers would focus more on students who are showing exemplary academic abilities, which in some ways is not surprising. At the same time, it is, I think, a subject that needs to be looked at a little deeper so that children who may not be doing exceptionally well are given the same opportunities, the same level of encouragement that a child who is showing exemplary academic brilliance is receiving. So what do you have to say to that, Melanie? As a teacher, how do you consider the subject of favoritism?
Well, let me ask you, I'm interviewing you, how do teachers display favoritism?
I think it is probably when you are having any kind of activities that some extracurricular activities that many a time teachers tend to sometimes focus on students who are doing well in their subjects. So there is a presumption or an assumption, let's put it, that they would be also extraordinarily doing well in the extracurricular activities as well, which may not be the case because I think, as we all know, every child is very special and every child has their own very unique set of inherent potential and talents, which is sometimes overlooked because of favoritism. And so, in the long run, I think, I'm sorry, you were about to say something.
I was just going to finish your thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just about to say that I think in the long run, it does tend to decrease the morale of the student to a certain extent till the student probably realizes the value of learning and progress. So till then, it could affect the morale. It could also create a very questionable attitude about what leadership is and how leadership is perceived from a student perspective. We are talking about school life.
Okay. My next question was going to be, how can teachers avoid favoritism?
Okay, I think for teachers to particularly consider the impact of favoritism, the first step would be to ensure that they allow the children to get to know each other better in a classroom environment. Because what happens is, when we talk about favoritism, I just initially mentioned about teacher-student relationship. But favoritism, when I'm talking about, is not something that just affects because of favoritism shown by the teacher to the student. It's also favoritism or the bias that comes into the picture between students. So I think students also have preconceived notions about communities, about race, about religion, which I think can also really impact their interactions and also getting to know their students better or getting to know their classmates better. So I would say allow children to have more opportunities in the classroom for collaboration and friendship. And also, I think this will not just make their relationships better, help them engage better when it comes to schoolwork and project work, and also make them feel more protected and secure as a student and being part of a learning environment. The second one would be to have children be from different communities and nationalities sit together to be a part of an activity that involves asking each other questions. Questions, of course, which are very much age appropriate. But for example, how do you describe a true friend? Describe your biggest failure. And of course, less personal questions, which could be about, you know, which country would you prefer to live in? And at the same time, their beliefs about gender. What games do you think can be played in sports? And such like, because it's going to give the children some kind of an insight into what goes into being biased or having assumptions about different communities and nationalities. And I think after the question sessions, they could always have a project done together, whereby whatever areas that they are still unclear about can be sorted out with the support and the encouragement of the teacher. And I think this can also reduce prejudice and anxiety when people from different cultures are paired up. I think the third one would be to avoid fixed mindset and enable the students to be a lot more, composed and confident when it comes to asking questions or questioning a teacher on why have you done something. And when I talk about this, I have to also mention here, a few years ago when I had gone for a PTA meeting of my daughter, and I had met this teacher who was actually quite upset with her. I realized it because I had a talk with my daughter before I went to the teacher. So what happened was there was this, they were having a class, and she had mentioned after he had written the total of a sum on the board, she said, "I'm sorry, I think that is wrong." And unfortunately, the teacher immediately said, "No, it isn't." And then at that point of time, another teacher just walked in and told his colleague, "You know what? I think that the total is wrong." And much to the embarrassment of the teacher, the whole lot of students went a big, "Oh," in the background. And I think that probably accentuated the embarrassment that he was already feeling. So I think basically students need to feel comfortable about not being accused about being rude or standing up just because they are in the right. So, and then, you were saying.
You finish.
Okay. And I think that is something which I think can have a lot of impact on a student's confidence, because a student would feel that, no, I'm doing something right. But then the moment the teacher starts believing that, no, I'm not able to take any input from the student because the student had criticized me, and starts showing favoritism to others, I think that creates a certain disconnect between the student and the subject as well. And are before there I move on to the third step, please do tell me.
Oh, you go ahead.
No, please, I would love to hear from you.
What are any other lasting impacts of favoritism on students?
Okay, I can't really say that from a perspective of my own experience, like I said, but because I have found that it can definitely change over a period of time, Because when you start developing yourself and you start really enjoying learning, you start being self-motivated. Mm-hmm. But however, there could be situations where students, when they reach adulthood, they can start thinking that they may not be good enough to learn something or a subject because of what they have been through or because what has been told by the teacher in the classroom.
Okay, thank you, Sita. I'd like to thank you on behalf of TTELT, a program of educators worldwide. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I had actually, Melanie, I had a couple of more, I would say, inputs regarding how the teacher can help. Would it be possible for me to share
Please.
That? Yeah. So I would say that the next step is for teachers to evaluate all the study material and presentations materials to ensure that what students see and hear is as less biased as possible. Because unfortunately, when you look at social media or so, what is getting promoted need not be, as we all know, what reality is. So that is another thing. And as far as teachers themselves are concerned, or educators or trainers, all of us are concerned, if we believe that there is a certain bias that we have towards anything or any community or any concept, I think it's important that we seek help. We can always talk to people who may be in the profession who can clarify these matters for us so that we are less biased and less unconsciously biased also. And I think last but not least is to provide an environment where students feel valued, appreciated, by acknowledging the cultural festivals and holidays of all the students in the classroom.
Okay, once again, thank you very much, Sita. I really appreciate your time, and I'd like to thank you on behalf of TTELT, a program of educators worldwide. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Looking forward to seeing you at TESOL Arabia.
Thank you for joining us today. Share with us how you are using these tips. Leave us a comment or voice message on social media or at ttelt.org. Thanks for joining this episode of TTELT, brought to you by Educators Worldwide. Follow, like, and subscribe to TTELT on your social media, and try a new teaching tip today.